That was good, wasn't it? Yeah, happy New Year, everybody. Welcome. Packed house. I love it. I love it. The only thing better than a cute kid on screen is one with an accent, right? That was good. Well, listen, I know it's only been a week, but I don't know. I miss y'all, man. It's been a while. I'm glad to be back here with y'all. My name is Raf. If you don't know me, associate pastor here at Relentless. If you're a guest or visitor, really, really excited to have you here. Thank you for coming to worship with us. We're kicking off a brand new series today for the new year. It's called New. Okay. We dug deep for the creativity on this one, but actually I think if you see that tagline there, reclaiming the new that Jesus unleashed to the world. That's really what it's going to be about. I'm so excited for this series and what it's going to mean for our church. Pastor David starting next week, he's going to start unpacking what that statement means. The new that Jesus came and unleashed on the world, the movement that he came. And it's different than, I think, than what a lot of people believe or even know it to be. And so we're super pumped about that. We invite you to come back and check that out. But today I just wanted to kick this whole thing off by talking about a new perspective. A new perspective for a new year. I don't know about you all, but I bet there's some new year's resolutions in the room. Have any of y'all got started on your new year's resolutions? I know I did. If you're anything like me, new year's resolutions are kind of a mixed bag. I got a love-hate relationship with them. Typically I'll just share my new year's resolution from last year was to start going to the gym. And I went and I bought a membership to the gym. I paid the money for it. Yeah, don't cheer yet. I can count on two hands the amount of times I went to the gym. So I might as well just set that money on fire. But I did similar to what I'm doing now. I shared my resolution with the students, on a Sunday, first Sunday of the year, NRC students, and I asked them to help keep me accountable. So really, I blame them for the fact that I didn't go. Don't let me down. I'm doing it to you guys now, right? And honestly, I think if I speak this out to a group, a room full of people, it might just help hold me accountable. It might help me actually accomplish what I'm trying to do. This year, I'm not going to the gym. I learned my lesson, but I did decide to take up running, which, all right, there's a, wow, we got a clap over there from Phil. He doesn't count. He's a runner. Look, I don't know about you all. Running never made sense to me. Unless someone's chasing me, like, why am I, I'm just going to run for no reason. Didn't make sense at all, but I need to do something, right? And I found this program called Couch Potato to 5K. I was like, now you're speaking my language, because I'm firmly in couch potato land right now. But if you tell me 6 to 8 weeks, I could run a 5K. That's 3.2 miles. Like, I got something to work towards. And so I'm jumping into that, and I'm giving you guys permission to help keep me accountable. Also, I have, if in exchange for you guys helping me out, I've got a tip, but this is a pro tip for you all. Anyone who is whose New Year's resolution is to diet or eat better or any kind of version of that, my advice to you is wait till after Super Bowl Sunday. Okay, that's after years of experience. I've fallen off the wagon on Super Bowl Sunday every year. Just wait till after the Super Bowl. That, to me, is probably the most underrated eating holiday of the year. Okay, some of you are like, that's not a holiday. Yes, it is. If Halloween and Valentine's Day are holidays, and so is Super Bowl Sunday, okay, and I'm already dreaming about the wings I'm gonna have. So, pro tip from me to you, wait till after then, and you'll do much better. The reality is, though, I think, you know, for me, again, I said love, hate with these New Year's resolutions. The truth is, I get so sick of every year coming up with the list of things that I want to change about myself. Or maybe goals that I want to accomplish, or things that I'm going to do differently this year. And every year I convince myself, this is going to be the year. This is going to be it. This is the one. I'm going to do it. I'm going to accomplish this mission, only to find myself a couple months later in the same exact place that I am now. Only a little bit more depressed or down on myself because I didn't accomplish what I'd set out to accomplish. So here's the problem, I think, along with what all the things that cute little girl said, which I agree with. In addition to that, I think the problem with New Year's resolutions really is that they always cause us to focus on ourselves, right? They're pretty self-focused, selfish, really, in nature when you think about it. Your resolutions are almost always about you. They're for you. They come from you. They depend on you. And then if and when you don't accomplish them, it's a reflection of you, right? It's self focused. And as a result of that, I think our resolutions almost always reinforce the wrong perspective. There's a perspective that the world teaches us that we've been conditioned to, really, where we look out first. The first thing we do is we look out to the world. We look to our neighbors. We look at our coworkers. We look at culture. We look at social media. We look at celebrities. We look to the world to get our cues about life. Then we turn the mirror on ourselves and we look inward at ourselves and we say, okay, where do I measure up? We start comparing and contrasting. Okay, how am I doing compared to them? How am I doing compared to what I've seen out there? We look out, then we look in. And then some of us, it doesn't even happen all the time, but some of us, if and when we find ourselves in a place where we didn't get where we want to be, we didn't accomplish, things aren't going the right way, whatever the case may be, finally, we look up. And we're like, God, I need you. God, help me. God, where were you? God, how did I get to this place? We look out, we look in, and then maybe if and when we need to, as a last resort, we look up and we wonder why we didn't get to where we wanted to go. I just think if we're really honest with ourselves, this is where many of us, how we approached life last year with this perspective in 2018. But what if we flip that? What if we approach this whole thing with an entire new perspective for 2019? What if we looked up first? What if we looked up first for an image, for a picture of God? What if we looked up to see who God is? Who does he say he is? We just sang about that, right? He is good. He's a good, good father. He is loving. He is a relentless God and who will not stop in his pursuit of his children. Okay. To rescue them, to adopt them. He's King of Kings, Lord of Lords, Prince of Peace. The names can go on and on and on. And I would say that what you think about God, how you see God, what your view of him is when you look up is the most important thing about you. Because it informs and it influences every other thing in your life, every other part of your life. The decisions you make, the actions you take, how you parent, how you date, how you live, all that is a reflection of who God is to you. And so I'm saying, what if we looked up first and foremost? That was the first thing we did. Then we looked in. Then we looked inwardly at ourself in the mirror and we say, all right, in light of who God is, in light of what I've seen in him, in light of what I know him to be, okay, who does he say I am? What does his word say about me? How does he describe me? What does what he's done mean for me? Now, with that foundation, from that perspective, from that place, now we can look out at the world and say, all right, where do I fit in? Where do I fit in? In light of who God is, in light of who he says I am, now, how should I interact in the world? How should I interact with the people around me? What does this mean? Okay, in light of who he is, again, and what he says about me, and who he says I am, and who does he say I am, and what does he call us, for those of us who love him and have given our lives to him, he says you are sons and daughters. That when he looks at you, he sees his perfect son, Jesus. Not the mistakes you made, not your past, but you are righteous, saved, adopted. That's who God says you are. Now, from that perspective, right? Now, let's enter the world. What's my role? What's my part? I just think that's a much better perspective, isn't it? It's a much better way to approach this new year. And so I want us together as individuals, personally, collectively, to start 2019 by looking up at Jesus. Here's the deal. Actually, the Hebrews chapter 12, starting in verse 1. I love the way the author here describes it. He says, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus. Fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of faith. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross. That line gets me. For the joy set before him. That when Jesus went to the cross, knowing that he was going to die to take the punishment that we all deserve in our place, that he did it with joy in his heart because he loved us so much. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinners so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. Fix your eyes on Jesus. And when you grow weary, when you lose heart, when you're discouraged, when you're not sure which way to go or what to do, look up. Look up and fix your eyes on Jesus. Here's the deal I wanted to say. I didn't come here today to give you a resolution for a new year. My hope and my prayer for each and every single one of you today has been for the past couple weeks that instead you would get a revelation for a new life. Because a resolution for a new year isn't gonna do anything for you. It might be a temporary fix. It might get you from here to there. It might be okay. You know, it's not ultimately what you need. Okay, a resolution for a new year isn't what you need, but a revelation for a new life can change everything about you. So that's my prayer for us all today. And you know, I think nobody knew this better than the Apostle Paul. If you're unfamiliar with his story, man, Paul was a religious leader, a Jewish religious leader. He was a Pharisee. He had risen pretty high up in the ranks. And man, his mission, his passion in life actually was to stomp out Christianity, to literally chase down, find Jesus followers and arrest them, and in some cases even have them killed because they had broken Jewish law. That was his mission, okay, until one point when he had a radical conversion. One day he meets Jesus, has an interaction with Jesus. Jesus changes everything about him to the point where Paul now became the biggest church planter in the history of the church. He started this multi-ethnic movement, the multi-ethnic church that we're a part of. Paul, who wrote over half of the New Testament. He dedicated his life to preaching the gospel of Jesus. Okay, the exact opposite of who he was because of this interaction he had with Jesus. And here's what he said in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 14. For Christ's love compels us, because we are convinced that one died for all, and therefore all died, and he died for all, that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died for them and was raised again. Paul says, I'm convinced that Jesus died for all of us. And because he did, now those of us who put our faith in him, we live for him, not for ourselves anymore. So from now on, we regard no one from a worldly point of view. Though we once regarded Christ in this way, we do so no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old is gone. The new is here. Man, this is the gospel. This is the gospel Paul is talking about. We define the gospel here at Relentless as the incredible news of our rescue and adoption by God through Jesus. That's what Paul's talking about. He says, I'm convinced that Jesus died for each and every single one of you. And then he was buried in a tomb. And 3 days later, he rose again so that we could rise again. He defeated death so that we could have a relationship with God, so that we could have eternity with the Father in heaven. And Paul says, if you really believe this, if you get this, when you accept this truth and you believe it, man, you will never be the same. It changes everything about you. He says, you can't live the way you used to live once you know that truth. It's impossible. It's impossible. And I really think what Paul wants us to understand is the fact that Christianity, following Jesus, it's not a remodel. It's not behavior modification. Okay, Jesus Christ did not come to earth and go to the cross and die the death that we deserved and then raise again so that bad people can become good. He came so that dead people can come to life. New life. If anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old is gone. The new has come. This year, 2019, you don't need a plan to enact. You don't need principles to apply. You don't need rules to follow. What you need is a person to trust, and his name is Jesus. You just need to look up to him. You need to fix your eyes on him. Fix your eyes on Jesus. He's so much bigger. His love is so much greater than you can possibly imagine. I'm absolutely convinced, just like Paul was, that if we do that, if we fix our eyes on him, if we live out the gospel as a church and we embrace this new life that Paul's talking about, that Jesus came to give, then 2019 is going to be an incredible year for Relentless Church. I believe that with all my heart, everything in me. I really do believe that. I believe the best is yet to come for Relentless Church. And I realized to some people, that may sound like a lot of hype, right? Like I'm like hooting and woo-ha, it's good, the best is yet to come, right? It sounds like hype even as I say it now. But here's the thing. It's only hype if it's not true. It's only hype if it's not true. Again, I believe it is. Why? Well, because we have a track record. No, God has a track record. All we have to do is look back to see. We can look at scripture. We can look back to the beginning of time. We can look back at our life as a church. We can look back at, I can look back at my own personal life and see all the times that God has shown up. And so I have some examples here just from Relentless, specific to us as a church. But since we were planted in September 2014, we have grown as a church, as you can see. So those of you standing in the aisles, right? We've grown 15 to 20% every year over year since this church was started. Last year, in 2018, we baptized more people than we ever have as a church. 17 people crossed over from death to life. Welcome into the family of God. Brothers and sisters in Christ, adopted into God's family. That's what God's been doing in and through this church. Last summer, we took over 20 students, middle school and high school, to summer camp. And I tell parents all the time, like, don't underestimate what a big deal this is, because the experience, the life-changing experience that happens at camp, I can do more ministry, we can as a team, at a week's worth of camp because we got these kids 24/7 than I can in an entire school year of bringing them to church for 1 hour a week. Okay? And so the relationships that we formed, we were able to go deeper and stronger and bonds were formed between students among each other and with the leaders. And when we got back from that trip, six of those kids were baptized. And so we got another one. We're doing it again this year. Registration is currently open on our website. Just go to the student section if you want to check out more information. I think we got some flyers at the Welcome Center too. If you're interested, grab one on your way out. But I just wanted to share what God's been doing. 36 kids in a town, a small town in Honduras called La Ceiba, who are now being sponsored by Relentless Church. That means they get the education, the food, the clothing, all the material needs they need to live. But also they're connected to a local church and to the gospel and to people who love them and who love Jesus. This is a life-changing thing for these kids and for their families. The impact, it's going to impact their family lives and their eternities. Okay, through the generosity of this church, that's what God is doing. Hundreds of kids here in our own community through our backpack ministry to start the school year and through Angel Tree at Christmas time have been blessed. Know the love of Jesus through the love of people in the church. All right. And not to mention, again, bearing the lead, David mentioned it earlier, but we got a building, y'all. We got a building, and make no mistake, yes, the huge deal. And God did that. That wasn't us. And man, the story and the way he did that was amazing. And if you missed it, David preached about that a few weeks ago. You can go online and check out that message. And just God, you can see how God was just present and leading that entire thing. And man, we get to enjoy the fruit of that. But again, it's not hype if it's true. When I look back at all that God's done in and through our church year after year, I can't help but believe that if we keep looking up, he'll keep showing up. He'll keep showing up. Now, I got to adjust one thing before we move on. Does that mean life is going to be perfect in 2019? Is that what I'm saying? No, you guys know that, right? Just like I just gave you the highlight reel from 2018, I know for a fact many of you went through some really hard stuff in 2018. And the last thing I want to do is diminish that or acknowledge that or, you know, just 2019 is going to be amazing. Nothing bad is going to happen. No, we know that's not the case. That's not the truth. What I'm saying is no matter the situation, past, present, or future, God was, is, and always will be faithful. He will show up. Even in one of the hardest things we experienced as a church last year, we lost one of our first partners to cancer, a woman by the name of Kelly Quinn, who is near and dear to many of us. And even in that pain and that loss of mourning her, in her last days, the strength and the grace that she showed and her readiness for what was to come, her forever focused mindset, man, that blessed me. It blessed us as a church, and we saw God all just his presence in it, right? And so I'm just saying, man, he's faithful. He's going to keep showing up. He always has. He always will. Paul, he's got this famous line in Romans 8, verse 31, where he says, if God is for us, who can be against us? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things? There's another version of this text. It's the Message translation written by a guy named Eugene Peterson, but I just love how he describes this verse. He says, God put everything on the line for you. Everything. Everything, including his only son. And so you can rest assured, he does not hold back. God is a loving father. He does not hold back from his children. He will show up. He will do his part over and over again. But we also have to do ours. We've got to do ours. That's what I want to spend the rest of our time talking about today. There's three things I think God wants us to bring to Relentless in 2019. All right, number one, bring yourself. Bring yourself. Now, this seems obvious. We talk about it all the time. It's one of our pillars of partnership to show up, right? We're asking you to show up regularly here every week. We believe there's power in that. We believe God moves in that. But I also want you to know, to understand that when we say bring yourself, I'm talking about bringing the real you. Bring the real you, not just your best self. Not just your Sunday self, not, I'm talking about like the you who you present on social media, right? Not the Facebook version of you, not the Instagram version of you, the real you, with all your baggage and with all your mess and everything that you have going on. Come as you are. Come as you are. And again, that may seem like an obvious thing to say, but here's what I know. I know that at some point this year, you're going to be tempted not to bring yourself to Relentless Church on a Sunday morning. Students, you're going to be tempted not to bring yourself to RC Students on a Wednesday night. Not just because you got stuff going on or a schedule conflict or you wanted to sleep in, but because something's going to happen. Something's going to happen. Some sort of baggage, some sort of issue, something will occur to make you not want to bring yourself to church. A mistake you made. A recurring sin that's popped back up in your life. A fight with a loved one. An argument with a spouse. Some doubts that have been creeping in your heart, creeping in your mind, a relationship issue, an addiction, whatever it is, right? I just want you to know that in those moments when you're tempted to let shame or discouragement or the lies of the enemy cause distance between you and your Heavenly Father, to keep you from coming and being with your brothers and sisters in Christ, I want you to remember that on your worst day, in the middle of your mess, before you could ever even dream of cleaning yourself up, God sent his son Jesus to the cross for you. Romans 5:8. But God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. While we were still sinners, on your worst day, while you were literally making the decision to do something wrong, God said, that is my son, that is my daughter, I love him, I love her, they're mine, nothing can separate me from them. I want you to know, you can come here, you can come to Relentless Church, but even more importantly than that, I need you to know, you can come to God no matter what you've done, no matter where you've been, no matter what you've experienced, no matter what's been done to you, no matter what kind of shame or guilt or embarrassment or anything else that you are feeling, you can come to God. This Christmas break, my wife and I had the first, unfortunately, probably not the last issue we had to deal with, a sin issue with one of our kids, our oldest daughter. Not to say we're all born sinful. It's not to say she's never sinned, but for the first time, she did something wrong. She knew it. She felt it. No one else knew. She'd gotten away with it, but for some reason or another, it was tearing her up. The guilt was eating her up. And we noticed she was a little distant. Things weren't quite right. Something was off. Eventually she comes to my wife and, tells her, you know, I need to tell you something, but before I do, you gotta please promise me that you won't tell daddy. Please don't say anything to daddy. But she's got tears in her eyes. And my wife's like, listen, why would you say, listen, I can't do that. I have to tell daddy, but I promise you, He's going to love you no matter what. Daddy will never change the way he sees you. Your relationship will never change. Like, we just had to reassure her of that. So finally she gets up the courage and she comes to see me and she tells me kind of what happened. And of course I reaffirmed everything that my wife said, and I hugged her and gave her a big kiss. And we prayed. You know, I taught her, look, this is how you confess. We pray to God. She confessed to God, asked for his forgiveness. And I told her she can forget about that. She's set free from that. Okay. But I wanted to make sure the most important thing was there is nothing in the world that could ever happen. Nothing you can do, nothing that can be done to you. Nothing will ever separate you from me. I love you. You can come to me no matter what. It broke my heart that she would even for a moment think she couldn't come to me. And I think that's how God feels when we do that to him. I think his heart, he's open arms just saying, come to me. Bring yourself to me. Bring yourself to my presence. Come here. I will meet you here. And there's nothing that can separate us. I think somebody need to hear that. Or at some point this year, you'll need to remember it. Bring yourself. God will meet you here. That's the first thing. The second thing, bring your expectations. Bring your expectations. We just talked about all that God has done in and throughout Relentless Church. Not just last year, but since the very beginning. Right. So that's fresh in our minds. But the reality is, if we look at scripture and we go all the way back to the beginning of time, really, what we'll find is not just a loving God, but a God who is faithful and shows up time and time again for his people. That's why when you read the Gospels, the accounts of Jesus's life and ministry here on earth, whenever Jesus comes onto the scene, there are these expectations that people had. There's this feeling that people had in their gut, almost like, what's God going to do next? I can't wait to see what God's going to do next. It's why the crowds were so big. That's why people came from all over just to get a glimpse of Jesus, hoping and believing and expecting him to do something amazing, something miraculous, something that only God can do. And of course he did. He did. Now, in our context today, 2018 American church, I almost hesitate to talk about miracles or use that term because, they mean different things to different people. It means different things to different people. And that's fine. We can do a whole message on that. I don't have time to get into it, but why do we see all these miracles in the Bible and we don't see any of that happening today? That we can go real deep on that another day, but here's what I'll say for today. All right. Here's what I know. When you begin to see people's lives change, like transform around you because of a relationship with Jesus, when the word of God comes alive for you for the very first time, when you start to see prayers being answered, when people you thought would never change all of a sudden do a 180, talking differently, acting differently, dating differently, parenting differently. When kids see their home lives just radically transformed because mom and dad gave themselves to Jesus. When you witness addiction give way to freedom. Marriages once thought dead come back to life. When you see brokenness restored. Call it whatever you want. Maybe they're miracles. You want to call it a coincidence. I really don't care. Here's what I know. Here's what I know. There really is anything can happen kind of attitude that has defined the people of God from the beginning of time. That's backed up in scripture, documented in history, and we've seen it manifested all throughout the life of Relentless Church. And so when I say bring your expectation, I'm asking you to come here with that feeling in your gut, that belief, that expectation that says, God, I can't wait to see what you're going to do today. I can't wait. I'm talking about faith. Big, fat, crazy faith. Now, faith is confidence in what we hope for and assurance about what we do not see. Expectation is faith. It's confidence and assurance about the things we can't see, but that we know to be true. And so if you're coming here in 2019 with an issue, whatever it is, a sin issue, an addiction, insecurities about yourself, about your self-worth, about your self-image, about worries about the future, a broken relationship, a broken marriage, financial troubles, whatever it is. If you bring your expectation to this place every week, here's what I know. Those issues are going to collide with the gospel of Jesus Christ. And your life is never going to be the same.
That's right.
It's never going to be the same. Here's how what I boil it down to. I've got an equation. It's not a mathematical equation, but I think it's a biblical equation. My faith plus God's faithfulness equals anything can happen. My faith plus God's faithfulness equals anything can happen. And I don't know, we've all got our own stories, but I know I've shared my testimony before, but I'll say this in a nutshell. So 9 years ago today, probably to the day, I was bartending in downtown Boston. And I would have told you, from the outside world looking in, I was living the life, right? I was just having a blast. But inside, man, I was tore up, right? I had no peace, no fulfillment. I wasn't happy, and I wasn't where I wanted to be in life, and I didn't know how I got there or where I was going or any of that stuff, right? And if you would have come in and told me, hey, 9 years from now, you're going to be standing on a stage at a church in North Carolina, you're going to be preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ, I would have said you were crazy, right? Like, what kind of, I don't know what you've been doing, but you're nuts, right? But all I know is I can tell you from the bottom of my heart today, I have more peace. I'm more fulfilled than I've ever been in my entire life. And the thing that changed was I put my faith in Jesus. And my faith plus his faithfulness, anything can happen, y'all. That's what I'm telling you. Anything can happen. Show up here every week with your expectation, and I promise you, anything can happen. Bring yourself, the real you. Bring your big, fat, crazy faith, and let's see what God does. That's the second thing. Third, bring your people. Bring your people. Now, you're doing a pretty good job with this so far. I will say that. I'll give you a round of applause on that one. That is who we are. This is how I would say 75-80% of the people in our church came here because a friend, a family member, a coworker, a neighbor, someone they know they were in relationship with invited them. And it's been amazing to see what God has done through that and how he's used that. Okay. We as a staff, as a leadership team here at Relentless, man, we want to create an environment where you are proud to bring your people. Okay. And we promise we'll always put Jesus front and center. We will always put the gospel on display, and then we're going to trust God and see what he does. But make no mistake, God's heart is and always has been to rescue and adopt every single one of his children. And so those of us who have been adopted, he calls us to be a part of that. He calls us to, if you've been rescued, he calls you to play a role in rescuing others. The incredible news of the gospel is for everybody. It's for everybody, and it's our job to share that message with as many people as we can, starting with the people in our lives, starting with the people you see every day, leveraging those relationships. And so that my question is, will you commit to that? Will you commit to doing this? Fixing your eyes on Jesus in 2019, will you commit to bringing yourself, bringing your expectation and your people to Relentless every week? If we do, I am confident that the best really is yet to come for Relentless in 2019 and beyond. I'm confident. I think that's what Paul was hinting at as he ended a prayer that he wrote in a letter to the church in Ephesus, which is a multi-ethnic church that he planted. And he wrote them this letter to encourage them. And he ends chapter 3 with this prayer. I want it to become our prayer today. Okay. Verse 20. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, to God, who is able to do so much more than we can even dream of, according to his power that is at work within us. He makes it available to us. To him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. Now again, Paul's talking to the specific church in Ephesus, the multi-ethnic church that he planted, that he started. But then he also says at the end of this, throughout all generations, forever and ever. And he's talking about us. I'm convinced we're included in this. So the multi-ethnic movement that God started, that Jesus accomplished through Paul, okay, inspired Paul to start it thousands of years ago, it's alive and well today, and we're a part of it. We're a part of it. That's an amazing thing. Don't miss that. It's huge that God is accomplishing his mission on earth in and through us by his power. But we are participants in that. And it's a beautiful thing. And so I just wanted to close out this service, but start this new year by just making that our prayer to God, that he would continue to accomplish that message, mission in us, that he would use us to do it, and that we could honestly believe, as Paul did, that we would glorify God, not just now in 2019, but for all generations. So I'm going to ask you guys, I'm going to invite the worship team to come on up, get ready to close us in a song. I'm going to ask everyone else to stand with me, please. And we're going to pray. I'm going to read this verse and make it our prayer to God. And then we're going to close out and worship together. So if you would, bow your heads. Father, to you who are able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to your power that is at work within us, to you be the glory, God, in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. God, for everyone in this room, God, and the people who are connected to them, for everyone that we love, Lord, we thank you on behalf of all of us. We thank you for your son, Jesus. We thank you for your love and grace and for what you've done for us and what that means for us and the freedom that it gives us. And Father, I just pray that you would encourage and inspire and give us the strength and the boldness and everything else we would need, Lord, to play the part you've called us to play. I pray that we would fix our eyes on Jesus. Help us to keep looking up. And God, I just pray that what we'd see there would inspire us to continue to bring ourselves, to continue to bring our big, fat, crazy faith, and to continue to bring our people this year, God, so that you can have your way with our lives and in this church and through this church. God, we love you. We praise you. In Jesus' name, amen.